But first up, another exhibit, this one at the Kansas City Art Institute. The 7th Annual Art of the Car Concourse showcases vintage and classic cars and gives visitors the chance to meet some of the men and women who raced them during the 50s and 60s. With us today is British racing legend Sir Stirling Moss, who raced from 1948 to 1962, winning 212 of the 529 races he entered. Sir Stirling Moss, such an honor to have you. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Denise McCluggage is also here. She's a pioneer in open-wheel racing and a Kansas native. She was a sports writer for the New York Herald Tribune, where she covered skiing and sports car racing. Denise, such so good to have you here, too. Welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you very much.
And back with us again is Marshall Miller. He's an exotic car expert and the chairman and founder of the event at the Art Institute. Marshall, welcome back to you, too.
Thank you.
Well, Stirling Moss, what was it about speed that you found so irresistible?
Well, I think the life is a fantastic life. I mean, it's exciting, it's dangerous, there are lots of pretty girls around, and you know, it's just fun. I mean, I didn't get the idea of going into racing, actually, until I was about 16 years old. And then I said to my father, I want to race, and he said, no way. And I chatted him up, and in the end he said, well, if you wear a crash helmet. I said, Dad, that's a bit sissy. Because of the fast drivers of that time, of course, you've got to remember Fagioli and Shaw and so on. They didn't wear those. They didn't wear crash hats.
You went bareheaded, racing a sports car as fast as it could go.
That's what I wanted to do. But he said, no, if you're going to race, you're going to have to wear a crash hat.
And you did then.
Well, I had to. It's Hobson's choice.
Yeah, that was the one concession you made to your dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, of all the things that you found so irresistible about speed, which was the most important thing to you? Was it the women or was it something else?
Well, the women are pretty high. I mean, it gives you introductions. That's a nice thing about it. No, I think the great thing about racing, if it's dangerous, the danger is like a drug, you know, because you know that if you do something wrong, there's a mistake, and that could be a painful one. And therefore, you are all the time edging to try and get as near to that as you could without actually overstepping the mark and having a crash. And, of course, I've had quite a few crashes. I mean, I've broken my back and my legs quite a few other things, but thank God they heal.
Why didn't that stop you from racing?
Why would
you keep racing after you broke your back doing it once?
Oh, because I enjoy what I did. I mean, it wasn't my fault that the damn wheel came off at 140.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
The wheel came off the car?
Yeah, one of the road wheels, yes. Oh, yes, I've had quite a lot of those. I've had about four or five of those. I've had four or five complete brake failures. One time I was going around the banking at Monza, 175 miles an hour in an Eldorado special. My arms crossed. Well, now I'm not stupid. I knew something was wrong. And, of course, the car went up because I was traveling about a meter down, and the car went up and hit the armco at the top of the banking, bent it back, over about 30 metres, and then spun. Well, by then I got my eyes closed and spun to the infield, and it was a hot day, and I remember sort of getting out and thinking, well, if this is hell, it's jolly dusty down here, you know.
Well, just one more thing. What's it like as a racer to be driving at 175 and suddenly the wheel has come out of the car?
It's not good news.
Not good news.
No, not at all. I mean, one thing you wouldn't think, when you're steering shears, what it means is you can just turn the steering wheel, it's not connected. So it's pretty scary.
Well, Denise, for you, was it the danger that drew you to the sport, or what was it for you?
It was the experience. I was a writer. I was a reporter. And my thing was I wonder what that's like. And so I'd try that and then write about it. So I did things like jumping out of airplanes, always with a parachute. I was cautious. but then I write about it, and people wouldn't have to do it themselves. They were a little leery of trying it themselves, but they wanted to know what it was like. So
What's it like to go 175 miles an hour in a car?
You get used to it, so velocitized, as they call it.
Is that
right?
So
it's like going 35. You know, it's only when you make turns and things like that it starts changing.
But seriously, it's like for me driving on the interstate. For you, going that fast became something akin to that.
Yeah, I mean, Stirling, you don't feel the speed when you're used to
it. No, not until something goes wrong. yeah. then you know you're in the wrong place.
Yeah,
that's the point.
Very, very quickly, right?
No, but it's like a drug, though. If you want to get this in your blood, to go out alongside another driver and not want to race him and beat him, you know, it's something that one doesn't accept.
Did it get in your blood that way, Denise?
Well, I enjoy beating people, yeah. You know, I mean, not with sticks, but,
yeah.
you know, but
yeah.
it's fun to compete and to compare your abilities and skills with others, and I'm very competitive.
What's the fastest you ever went in a sports car?
I think not very fast because they weren't terribly fast, and probably not over 180.
180?
But, yeah, something like that.
That sounds pretty fast. Well, but, today at Indy, they're going 220, 230.
Yeah, exactly.
So it isn't that far off.
I wanted to, they have now with the Veyron, people go on a special track and go up to 250 miles an hour or whatever. But they don't really want an 86-year-old woman doing it because then it looks too easy.
And, could you still do it?
Yeah, sure. I'd do it. I'd do it in a minute, yeah.
How fast did you ever go, Sterling?
240-some Utah, on the salt.
Oh, on the salt flats.
Yeah, I got a world record with an MG, actually, at the time, special engine and everything, a car about as tall as my knee, lying down backwards, or leaning backwards, and the steering wheel parallel with the ground. Funnily enough, quite frightening. Not the speed, but the fact that when you were ready to go, they put Zeus fasteners on the front, and when they tied that down, you realised there was no way you were going to get out of it.
So you were sort of strapped to the car.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I've never raced with seatbelts because in Europe we didn't. But in this thing, of course, I was literally part of the vehicle, and therefore they closed the top down, and then off I went.
Wait, you didn't race with seatbelts? You didn't have seatbelts when you raced?
Well, if you wanted them. They used to use them in America, some people, but we wouldn't. No Europeans use seatbelts.
Just wasn't cool?
Now, it's of course. No, it wasn't cool. If the thing caught fire, you wouldn't jump out of the damn thing.
You were safer being thrown out then.
And the cars, seriously.
Yeah, cars would. Well, Mastin Gregory from Kansas City, he was known for
jumping out of cars.
Absolutely.
We have pictures of him spiraling out. He uniformly would jump out.
But it was
when the car was
careening, was going to crash. Mastin Gregory was very well known.
To get up
for
and
that.
Jump.
Yeah,
jump.
Yes. Well,
he would
loosen
crash
happen.
Himself in the seat and be thrown out. And the car owners weren't delighted about his habit, but I watched him at Goodwood one time, and he got off. It got off, and it was very slippery. The grass, you actually felt like you were accelerating when you got off in that wet grass. And he was heading for this berm, which was very firm and strong, and he just kind of got loose in the seat. So when he hit it, he went zoop, zoop, and made a couple of, and landed on his feet. You know, it was.
And we'll have pictures and discussions about that at UMKC at Pearson Hall tomorrow afternoon. Saturday afternoon is a two-hour session with these two people talking about Mastin Gregory and the 50s, 60s racing.
Well, I think you're both crazy. That's my conclusion.
Yeah, well,
I just can't believe I'm hearing here. Going that fast without a seatbelt, Sterling Moss.
There weren't even seatbelts built into cars in those times.
I feel far more frightened by this thing in front of my face I'm talking into. Much more worrying than getting into a motor car.
Do you wear them today?
What, seatbelts?
Yeah.
No.
It's different today.
No,
the cars are stronger.
If I was racing today, I would be so, certainly. Because they're made of carbon fiber and they're not immensely strong. And as long as you're strapped in, which is dependent upon that, then you're like in a cell.
Mm-hmm.
And so very unlikely to get hurt.
But when you're driving around London today, you're not wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, yes. No, we have to. It's law.
Okay, so you do wear it.
I do. Yeah, oh, yes, certainly. I think it's a very good idea.
I'm glad you clarified the record there,
anyway.
Sir.
Sorry? Yeah.
I'm glad you clarified the record there, sir.
Oh, absolutely.
Denise, do you wear them?
Of course, because, for one thing, it holds you in place so that you can drive better.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of it. But also, cars are constructed differently today. What you want to be safe in a car is to have the energy dissipated of an accident, dissipated before it reaches you. And cars are constructed to do that now, to come apart in bits and pieces. And you look at a race car on television now, and it loses a wheel, and it loses this and all of that. all of that is saving you from having your wheels lost because it's the energy dissipates over time and distance. And that's what you want. And then by the time it reaches you, it's, oh, ouchie.
Yeah.
But it's not a really serious thing.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking with a pair of racing legends, Sir Sterling Moss, Denise McCluggage, both in town for the 7th Annual Art of the Car Concours showcasing vintage and classic cars this weekend at the Kansas City Art Institute. It'll run from 10 to 4 on Sunday on the campus of the Art Institute. More than 200 vintage classic and special interest vehicles will be there. So more information about that on our website, kcur.org. Sterling Moss, name me a car that you would just kill to race in again.
250F Maserati.
Mm.
Describe it to me.
250F was 2.5 liters, which, what's that in inches?
That's
Anyway, 2.5 liters in size. Mm-hmm. Probably the nicest of the Formula One cars to drive. The Mercedes was a better because it was much stronger, and therefore, from that point of view, it was reliable. And Mercedes were a great company to race for. But I think my favorite car of all probably was a 300 SLR, which was a sports racing car, which I raced around Italy in a thing called Emilia Miglia, which was 1,000 miles around Italy when the roads were not closed. You can't close 1,000 miles, but everybody knew it was happening. And about 600 or 700 entrants, if you can believe it, 600 or 700 people entered this thing, and we went right round down to Italy, across and up, back up to Brescia.
What did you like about that car? What was it about the car that drove you nuts?
Its strength, the power in the middle range, the handling qualities, the way that you could back off and use the accelerator or the to steer the car.
Yeah.
It was a very, very user-friendly to driver, providing the driver, you know, Sid, who's boss.
Well, I got a treat for you. That's the car I drive today. It's out in the parking lot. We'll go for a spin after the show today.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like my 2011 Honda Civic.
It's Denise, $50 million.
Yeah, but whatever it is.
Yeah.
Denise, what was your car of choice if you could go back and drive one again today?
Well, I liked Oscars.
Yeah.
They were small cars, but they had a perfection about them. I think the five Maserati brothers were really watchmakers. I mean, they just cared so much about the completion, the perfection of it, and it had the perfect manners. It was, you had that three-quartering force always. And the great thing is, you mentioned steering with the throttle, that ability to do that, even a really small car. What appealed to me about driving were the kinesthetics, a ski instructor I used to have called kinesthetic cookies, the little rewards of feeling, of doing something perfect that felt the vectors were going exactly the direction you would aim them, and that incredible feeling that you just, you know, there you are grinning, and it just feels so good. And that's why we do a lot of things, isn't it? Because it feels good.
What did your parents say about you doing all this speed stuff? What did they say to you about it?
What are you doing that for?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do something more elevating? And I said, well, I was thinking of mountain climbing. And they said, oh, yeah, forget it.
but clearly you had a little daredevil in you. You were born in Emporia, right?
No. In El Dorado.
El Dorado. I'm getting my E's mixed up. El Dorado, yeah.
Then I was in, I went to Topeka High School.
Were your parents a little daredevil-y or not?
No. Daddy did play golf.
That doesn't qualify, Denise. Yeah. Were the cars, Sir Sterling Moss, were they better back in the 50s than they are today, or what's the difference?
There's no comparison. I mean, for the pleasure to drive, the sheer pleasure, certainly we had the better cars. I mean, today the cars are unbelievable. I mean, they'd stick to the ceiling at 100 miles an hour because of the downforce. Well, downforce was a word that didn't even exist in the 50s, and it's made a tremendous difference to the cars, and the tires are different. I really believe, I mean, for instance, if Lewis Hamilton wins a race, he has to go and chat up Vodafone because they're the sponsor. If I ever won a race, I could chase the crumpet. Well, which era do you want to be in, this or that, you know? But it's a fabulous life, getting into a motor car and actually racing something that is really, you know, so exciting to drive and very manageable. And I mean, the whole thing, when you get a car like that he's talking about, an Oscar, fantastic, the balance of that car, you know, the other cars like MGs and so on, but no comparison in the feeling and balance, the agility of it, and all those sort of things. And when you can use those qualities to your benefit and go faster than other people, that is the most exhilarating thing you can get.
And you're talking like you still miss it.
Oh, I do miss it. I mean, I actually gave up when I was 80. I thought, well, probably that's a fair innings, and I'd nearly been killed a few times, but I've retired. But now I only do demonstrations and stuff.
You know, explain a term here that everyone in Kansas City doesn't know, except Kim Noble, who's our engineer here today. Chasing crumpet. What is that?
Looking for pretty girls and chasing it. I don't know what the American what would you
chasing skirt.
Oh, skirt. Yes. Okay, yeah. Well, the same thing.
I wouldn't know what it is, but that's, yeah.
I understand. Yeah. I've forgotten as well. Yeah. Trouble with getting older, you forget the old days.
It happens,
you know?
Doesn't it?
Yes, it
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
Sterling didn't have to chase much. All he had to do was turn around, and there they were.
Yeah. Was it that way for him in those days?
And for her as well.
No, it was.
Was it different for men and for women, Denise? Was it different for a male racer versus a female racer?
Oh, yeah, because women were not very well accepted then, more in Europe.
So men weren't climbing out of the stands to come buy you dinner?
Not really. You kind of scared them a bit, I think. You know, guys had the idea that driving was a macho thing, and they certainly didn't like to be beaten by a woman driver. I finally found out that all the cars that broke when I passed them didn't really break.
Was it viewed as unladylike? Were you sort of viewed as something of an oddball?
I don't know. I think so. I certainly was an oddball in that I was rare, you know. Mm-hmm. Now they're much more accepted. I mean, when Janet Guthrie ran at Indianapolis.
At Indy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
First woman to run at Indy. And she was about 10 years behind me. And I wasn't even, when I covered Indy, I wasn't even allowed in the press box or in the garage.
Because you're a woman.
Because no women allowed, you know. If we let you in, we'll have to let them all in. Yeah. I mean, the density of the, it was rather interesting. But she was booed and just terrible. How she stood it, I don't know. She was extremely certain what she wanted to do and had to be. And then by the time, say, Danica Patrick came along, everybody's cheering her, and she's the most popular driver in the whatever she does. And it's changed totally in that regard.
Yeah.
But we just were not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
And I had an excuse. I mean, I was a writer. I have to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Mastin Gregory, Sterling Moss, was also known as the Kansas City Flash. He has a car on display this weekend at the Art Institute. You raced against him. Tell us a little more about that experience.
A great character, I must say. Yeah. A great character. And, you know, he was one of the first Americans to come over to Europe. We didn't know what you were like there because the war finished not that long before.
Yeah.
And he came over and he drove from a chap called Mimo Day, which was not as good as a factory, but at least a fairly good entrant.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of success, and he was really he had this very deep voice, which of course we were a very deep sort of, I suppose, a Texan voice.
Yeah.
But it was something different to us, you know. But he was accepted because he was a very nice bloke.
Marshall, to tell us a little more about how the event got started at the Art Institute and how it's grown over the years.
Well, this is its seventh year, and what you've been hearing is exactly what I wanted to have happen.
It's happening.
It's extraordinary. And tomorrow afternoon from 1:30 to 3:30, we had to move it from KCI to UMKC to Pearson Hall because mm-hmm. we had more than double the number of people that we thought would be interested. I think we'll double again before tomorrow. People can literally walk up and come in to hear these people talk.
It's at what time again
tomorrow? It's at 1:30. 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Pearson Hall at UMKC.
We'll put that on our website.
Yes, yeah, the KCUR. Event it should be. Yeah, it's Meet the Legends, and you will hear 2 hours of these people talking like you've heard about what it's like. And Michael Lynch, who's from Kansas City, has put together a fabulous set of photos from the 50s and 60s of what these people look like, the cars they raced, along with Mastin Gregory and his cars. His brother, Rydell, who's 82 years old, will be there as well, who raced also.
What got you started on this, Marshall?
My father wrote in Track magazine, I think, when I was in the early 50s.
He subscribed.
And I would read that as a little kid. I was born in 45. Born in Northeast. Grew up on Garfield in Kansas City, then over into Prairie Village in the early 50s. And I always was interested. I read these voraciously.
Why? What grabbed you by it?
It was the fascinating people like these two.
Yeah.
The history, the vehicles. And luckily, much later in my life, I was able to start putting these pieces together. And what I wanted to do is nothing like this was available to anyone in this part of the country, a show like this or to bring people like this.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in Chicago, nothing in Denver, nothing in St. Louis, nothing in Dallas. And I wanted to create something for the Midwest. And we have 200 vintage vehicles on Sunday. From 12 states as far away as Connecticut and Florida. Sir Sterling's first car that his father bought him in 1934 when he was 15 years old, which is a Morgan trike three-wheel, is being brought by the owner from Connecticut Sterling can see the car again.
No kidding.
Yeah,
and then we have the Ferrari that won Le Mans, the Mastin Gregory won Le Mans in. That's an iconic car. It's in original condition. It's never been restored after that race. It was put in a museum. That car won Le Mans 48 years to the day of our concourse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just, we've got birdcage Maseratis. We've got 18 50s, 60s race cars from all over the country that people have brought in for people to see and talk to the owners. That's the experience I want people to have in Kansas City. I don't want it to be elitist. We have trucks. We have motorcycles. We've got Steve McQueen's 1945 Indian Chief motorcycle.
No kidding. Who's got that today?
Two fellows own it down in Southwest Missouri. They're bringing it up to the show.
How do you track
I chase
these people
them
who
all
how do
year
you know
long?
Who's got what?
It's people and other people, and you should hear about this. You should call this. It's a network that I've developed over the last 7 years. People understand our show, understand what we're doing, understand that 100% of the revenue goes to the scholarship fund of the Kansas City Art Institute. This isn't about having fancy dinners or other things. The hardest thing to raise money for an educational institution is scholarships. Everybody wants their name on a building. This is scholarship money, 100%. People get it, and it works.
Again, that's 10 to 4 on Sunday
at
the Kansas City Art Institute. You know, Sterling Moss, what's the key to passing another driver on a very narrow track?
You come up and sometimes they try to make it very difficult for you, like at Monaco, because it is difficult. I mean, really what you do is sometimes you feint to go one way, and if they pull over to try and block you, then whip by on the other side. I mean, it's really very much a mental thing, knowing when to try to get them. What you've got to do, if you're trying to pass a car in front, the important thing is for the guy in front to know that you're coming. Otherwise, he could come across in front of you and, you know, hit your car and knock you off.
So you want them to know you're there?
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. You can't sneak up. I mean, if you could sneak up, then the guy wasn't much good.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's comparable with your speed, obviously it's important you get him to, he knows that, and he knows where you are. And as far as I'm concerned, I would feint and pretend I'm coming this place, then would whip around the other way. And so it depends on the circuit and the car and everything else.
How often do you find yourself driving down a highway somewhere and you sort of start racing the guy next to you?
No, you don't. If you race for a living, that's one good thing about it. You don't need to try and race on the roads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean,
you get it out of your system.
Exactly. I mean, really, racing on the roads is really pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And if you're going to race at the weekend when no holds barred, then you certainly that compensates for acting like an idiot on the highway. You know.
Yeah. Do police ever pull you over?
I've been pulled over.
And when they find out you are who you are?
If it happens, sometimes I think I've been. In fact, over here in the States once, I was picked up and I was caught for speeding. And quite expensive. I went to bed the next day. They said the police officer downstairs. Would you come and see him? I went to see him, and this guy came up to me. This is absolutely true. He said, "I believe one of my officers or something pulled you up yesterday, charged you $60, whatever it was." And I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm very sorry," and he gave it back to me. Now that sounds like a tall story, but that is absolutely true.
It's because you were Sir Sterling Moss.
I wasn't Sir then. I was just Sterling.
You were
Moss
just Sterling Moss. Knifehood, yes. Yeah. How did the Sir change your life?
Oh, a lot. I must say I'm very proud to be
sure.
to have been knighted. And it does help you if you want to get, you know, if you want to get seats somewhere or get into shows. It's a nice tagline, actually. Yeah.
Denise, for you, what was the most important thing you had to do to pass a driver in front of you? How did you approach that task?
On the race course or on the highway?
Course, on the race course.
Well, the thing is, you do indeed let them know you're there. And let them know you have intentions of not giving up and that you kind of just get in their mind in a way that they don't know where you are or where you're going to. And it also helps if you act a little erratic because it kind of puts them on, you know, oh, my God, what's she going to do now?
You start with the advantage, Denise, of being a lady, actually.
Yeah, of course. Well, you use that to your advantage. You act a little crazy at times.
And when you would get past, how did that feel?
They obviously had a faster car.
All right. Let's see. The 7th Annual Art of the Car Concours takes place from 10 to 4 on Sunday at the Kansas City Art Institute campus. That's at 4415 Warwick, not far from the Nelson Atkins, right, Marshall?
Right across the street, and also on Saturday at 1:30 at the Pearson Hall at UMKC.
That's Marshall Miller. Denise McCluggage, such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Sir Sterling Moss, so good to have you, too.
You have a beautiful city.
Well,
very,
thank you very
impressed.
Much.
Lovely.
Appreciate that very much. Yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Pirates. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.